I am Dave Radlauer. Welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of vintage jazz. Bunk Johnson was a trumpeter from the early years of jazz in New Orleans who fell on hard times for a decade, laboring in obscurity on a rice plantation in rural Louisiana. Out of retirement, with new teeth and trumpet, this dusty rag is typical of the recordings he was making during his comeback. And within a few years, he was the toast of San Francisco and New York. Dusty Rag, Bunk Johnson in New Orleans, 1942. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me for this second of three programs, Rediscovering Bunk Johnson. In its briefest outline, Bunk's story begins in turn-of-the-century New Orleans when he hung around the legendary Buddy Bolden, the first trumpeter of early jazz. Later, Johnson mentored the young Louis Armstrong and played in numerous Golden Age New Orleans ensembles such as Eagle Band, Superior Ragtime Orchestra, and Onward Brass Band. His hard times began around 1932 when he pretty much left the music business and ended up driving a truck on a rice plantation. But in the late 30s, as American jazz enthusiasts began searching for the stories of jazz roots in New Orleans, Louis Armstrong directed them to his one-time teacher. In Bunk Johnson, researchers found a man not only full of vivid memories, but eager to play again, record, and revive the living traditions of New Orleans music. Back in 1993, I discussed Bunk Johnson with the late Harold Draub. Draub befriended Johnson, helped him with a few gigs, including what turned out to be Bunk's last recordings, and then dedicated himself to researching Bunk's life through documents, interviews, and extensive research. We resume Bunk's story after a year of successful performing and recording in San Francisco and Los Angeles in 1944.
When Bunk left San Francisco, it had been arranged for him to do a recording session for World Transcriptions, which was a subsidiary of Decca Records. World Transcriptions were produced for radio stations, not for commercial issue to the general public. So a radio station could fill in with 15 minutes of this band or 15 minutes or a half hour or whatever it was. The original intention was that Bunk was going to record with Kid Ory's band. Kid Ory's band had been put together for Orson Welles' program that Orson Welles had at the time. They were a fixed band in Los Angeles. But what happened was, when Bunk got to Los Angeles, he was informed that the Ory band would not make the recordings with him. So then there were panic stations because he was between trains and they had a certain amount of time to get a band together. So they hustled to do what they could. Well, Wade Whaley did agree to make the records. He was the only one out of Ory's band that was willing to come and make the records. They found Floyd O'Brien, the Chicago trombonist, who was in Los Angeles at the time. Lee Young, Lester Young's brother, is the drummer. Red Callender, the bass player. And the piano player was Fred Washington, who was a New Orleans piano player who was in Los Angeles at the time. And they had like 2 hours to get this band together to come in a studio and make these records. And they did, I think it was eight tunes. Some of them, I guess, Bunk had to help them learn. I'm sure Red Callender wasn't familiar with all these tunes that they were doing. And so among the tunes was a tune called Spicy Advice, which was a tune composed by Bunk. Actually, sheet music has been printed, and I have a copy of the sheet music. Nobody else, to my knowledge, ever recorded it. It's included in this group of recordings that I brought along.
I think the next one up is Streets of the City.
Yes, this is actually, we will walk through the streets of the city, which is one of those spiritual gospel type songs, which later on somebody turned into a Red River Valley, a cowboy song. And I just thought it was interesting to show the diversity of material that Bunk has been directly involved with.
Thank you.
The melody, long known as We Will Walk Through the Streets of the City, but which is better known today as The Red River Valley. It was a New Orleans recording made in 1944, shortly after Bunk Johnson had left the West Coast. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm, rediscovering Bunk Johnson. And you're hearing an interview made in 1993 with the late Harold Drobb, who knew Johnson, arranged for a few of his gigs and recordings, and after his death in 1949, Harold Drobb spent the rest of his life researching and documenting the life and music of this rediscovered New Orleans treasure. Still ahead, live recordings of Bunk Johnson with Sidney Bechet and at the Stuyvesant Casino in 1946. After a short stay of several months in New Orleans, Bunk was off to the East and even greater fame. As we turn to these next set of recordings, listen especially for Bunk's very personalized tone. He had very good control over his instrument, and once you tune into his sound, you can hear that control. Bunk used what was called the no-pressure system, where theoretically you should be able to have the trumpet or horn suspended from a string, be able to come up and just barely press your lips against it and still produce a tone. His playing is very spare and economical. Notice how few notes, and yet how much control of what he wants to say he has.
Bunk was hired by Sidney Bechet for a gig in Boston at the Savoy Cafe in Boston. And on the way, a Blue Note recorded Bunk and Bechet in a band that included Sandy Williams. This is where he found Sandy Williams. The piano player is Cliff Jackson. Manzi Johnson is the drummer. Pops Foster, the bass player. These were not issued at the time, and as a matter of fact, weren't issued until the 50s, for some reason or other. And one of the tunes that wasn't issued at that time and didn't turn up until Mosaic issued a complete Bechet package is this Puerto Rico. It was kind of a ragtime number of the early years of the century. And it's one of the few things that I've ever heard Bunk playing on that Leonard Feather complimented in reviewing this package, talked about the jaunty Puerto Rico.
Thank you. That was absolutely lovely Puerto Rico. We were talking as we were listening to the record how Bechet sounded like he was a little bit stymied there. I had one thought, which is that he sounded like he couldn't find a place in the music to quite insert what he wanted.
Well, that he's playing clarinet, which was his understanding with Bunk, that he'd restrict himself to clarinet. I don't know how well that worked out, because later on in broadcasts from Boston that had been recorded and issued, he very seldom plays clarinet. He reverted to the soprano, and no trumpet player can compete with that soprano sax of Bechet. That's a well-known thing. I did follow this with Sister Kate, which was done at a special rehearsal for the guy at Victor who was responsible for Bechet's recordings, a fellow named John Reed. And this band did not have a trombone. It's just Bunk and Bechet, and it's very relaxed. I think it's a very good happenstance for the two of them, this Sister Kate that follows here. Why don't we listen to it?
Rob and I have a lot of thoughts on that last recording. You described it, Harold, as relaxed. It sounds to me tense. It sounds like they're on a first date and they can't quite decide how to work together. But
What's interesting is Bunk's way of playing is very consistent.
In what sense?
Well, for instance, that break that we mentioned. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Most players would just take that as a trill and maybe run those notes together. He plays each note as if it means something. And you describe it as a signature.
Well, what I say is that every note has its own value in terms of dynamics, in terms of accent, in terms of tone quality. And so within a phrase, there'll be great dynamic variances, accents, and tone. Not many players are like that. They have a single tone that they play with and a single way of accenting. Also, he plays differently with every group that he's with. It's funny, there was a young trumpet player by the name of Jerry Blumberg who was around in those days in New York, and he tried to play like Bunk. He did quite a good imitation of him, as a matter of fact. And Gene Williams mentioned to Bunk that there is a 17-year-old trumpet player who plays like you. And Bunk said, "Don't worry, Gene, I have six or seven other styles," which
very good.
He manifests in his playing. He doesn't play the same way in the recordings that I made as he does when he's playing with George Lewis. He doesn't play the same way with that World Transcription Group or the Yerba Buena people. He's always trying to integrate himself in with the people that he's with. It's not just, I'm out here and you let the chips fall where they may, you try and follow with me.
Definite characteristic of a sensitive musician.
Now, more jazz. Another of those famous New Orleans blues, Basin Street Blues. Thank you.
Well, now that was another story altogether. There they were having a honeymoon, and it was beautiful playing together.
Yes.
Bunk sounded almost like he was accompanying a singer, the way he was accompanying Bechet there.
Well, it's been one of my favorites. I had a copy of this way back in the past, and it's long been one of my favorites. Sidney could, if he wanted to, could really be very sensitive and willing to go along, but more often than not, he just didn't. Particularly trumpet players. His biggest problem was with trumpet players. And Vic Dickinson said he liked to play with me because then he didn't have to have a trumpet player. And he was always fighting trumpet players.
Performances of Bunk Johnson and Sidney Bechet from 1945. And in his autobiography, Bechet bitterly complained about groupies and enthusiasts who hung around Bunk and got him drunk. Booze was the reason Bechet fired Johnson and eventually contributed to his decline and death. Promotional support for Jazz Rhythm is provided by the Mississippi Rag, a monthly publication covering traditional jazz and ragtime personalities and contemporary events. Information at mississippirag.com. And you can explore early jazz further at the Jazz Rhythm website, jazzhot.bigstep.com. The fame and influence of Bunk Johnson have spread far and wide. The Swedish Bunk Johnson Society, founded in the mid-1980s, has about 150 members worldwide. British trad jazz trumpeter Ken Collier was deeply influenced by Johnson, as was Woody Allen. Allen, you may be aware, is a jazz clarinetist in the George Lewis Manor, and recordings of Woody, made for the documentary film Wild Man Blues, were released in the early 90s under the title The Bunk Project. Here's Woody Allen with the New York Jazz Ensemble playing Sobbin' Blues, followed by an early 50s recording of Ken Collier.